Turn, please, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 3. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 3. I'd like to read verse 21 down through verse 25. Jeremiah 3:21. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping in supplication of the children of Israel. For they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. I'm going to look into this passage, but specifically our text will be verse 22. There's a story of a man who got tired and burdened by the stresses of ministry, so he just simply got up and left, and he headed off to a place of isolation, and he felt sorry for himself. There is a story of a man who felt as if his ministry wasn't effective, and it wasn't worth all the effort, so he stopped preaching. There is a story of a man who, because of personal safety, denied knowing the Lord. There's a story of a man who, because of the tantalizing offerings of this life, turned his back on his profession and entered into the world. Now the first man, the one who took off, he returned. The second man, the one who quit preaching, began preaching once again. The third man, the one who denied the Lord, made things right with God that very day and turned out to be a great servant of the Lord. But the fourth man, the one who entered into the world, well, to our knowledge, he never did come back. The first man was Elijah when he fled from the face of Jezebel and he ended up underneath the juniper tree. The second was Jeremiah, who indeed quit preaching, but proclaimed that the word of God was as a fire shut up in his bones and he just had to preach. The third man was Peter, who denied Jesus but soon went out and wept bitterly. The fourth man was Demas, whom Paul declared to have forsaken the ministry because he had loved this present world. Now, what do all of these have in common? Well, they each, in their own way and in their own time, turned away from God. Now, each of us are aware of that tendency in our own lives. We may shun the work of ministry. We may delay our service for Christ. We might even openly deny that we know Him. And yes, we could easily be drawn away by the affairs of this life and falter in our walk for the Lord. More so, we might even become like Demas and depart from God, having loved this present world. My friend, it isn't only possible, it can be a reality. You know, the fact of the matter is, we sin every day. And, you know, with each sin that we commit, there is a stepping away from God. Now, of course, we pay very little attention to our daily minute sins. Usually what we are concerned with is the trend and the habits, the prolonged departure. But may I remind you that turning away is wrong. But truly, the indulgence and the preparation for and the catering to and the habit of sin is tragic. And sometimes we have to deal with the latter, but we also have to deal with the former. We just can't overlook those daily, minute things. The truth is, we can step away from God. What I would like to speak to you from this passage, specifically verse 22, and look at the text. It's a cry to Jeremiah to the children of Israel and says, "Return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings." The title of my message today is, "When a Child Backslides." And may we find encouragement, strength, comfort, and correction from the passage today. When a child backslides, let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house, and for these who are here, we ask that you would just speak to our hearts through your word, open up our minds, help us to understand, comprehend, and I pray that you would move by your spirit in every one of our hearts to apply it, that those of us who are your children, we might be found faithful in our walk and our service to you, and Lord, you'd give us the grace that we need to be found faithful, and Lord, to put away sin and to live the way you would have us to live. But we know we can only do that by your grace and mercy. And yet we also pray for those that might be in our midst today that are lost, that you would show them their need of Jesus Christ, convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, grant unto them repentance and faith that they would be saved even today. And Lord, either way, we want you to be glorified and honored, that you would work in every heart, whether lost or saved. And may your perfect will be done. We thank you, we love you, we honor you. You deserve all the glory and all the praise because you're God and there is no other God. And so we commit these things to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and it's for his sake we pray. Amen. When a child backslides. Now, as we think about this text, I think it's necessary, first of all, to discuss a little bit about this idea of backsliding. I know when I was a young teenager in Christ, I was a teenager and I was young in Christ. I'd just been saved. But through those early years, I remember hearing a lot about backsliding. You know, how Christians can backslide. What all does that really mean? Well, we want to think about this passage today and the call to the children of Israel and think about backsliding. In order to do so, I think it's necessary to get a little bit of background here. Is that all right if we do that? Go back to chapter 1 of the book of Jeremiah for just a second. I want to lay a little bit of background so we can describe for you the condition of the children of Israel at this time, so that you can understand the direction that's being made unto them. Back in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 3, we see somewhat of an introduction, of course, to the book, and we can make it applicable to what we're discussing today. Jeremiah 1:1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Now, if you would, go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. We have in those verses of which we read, where Jeremiah introduces his writing there, a discussion of who he was and when God worked in his life at the occasions of which he makes reference to. And he speaks of the time of King Josiah, who was a son of Manasseh. Manasseh was a very evil king in Judah, but he was converted at the end of his days. Josiah comes upon the throne, and he makes a lot of reforms. But this is coming down at the time of the end for the Israelites, as it were. And if you go back and you would glance at chapter 34, chapter 35 of the book of 2 Chronicles, you'll see a mention of Josiah and some of the reforms. As you enter into chapter 36, it talks about how that now that Josiah is dead, who it is that's going to take the throne. And so verse 1 tells us that Jehoahaz came on the throne and he reigned for just a short time, 3 months, and the Egyptians came, carried him away. And then Jehoiakim came upon the throne, and he reigned 11 years. Now, you remember when we read in Jeremiah, it talked about Josiah, it talked about Jehoiakim. And so you have Jehoiakim coming on the throne. So you have Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim. Then Jehoiachin comes on the throne, and he doesn't reign very long. He was a very young child, eight years old. And he was carried away into captivity. And then Zedekiah, Jeremiah mentioned him. So you see in the last chapter of chapter 36, that chapter we're looking at here, the reference to these kings of which Jeremiah speaks of. I'll direct your attention to verse 14 of chapter 36. I didn't want to read all these passages, but I do want to make mention of this. Get an idea of the sense of what's going on of the children of Israel and why they're carried away into Babylonian captivity. Verse 14. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against the people, till there was no no remedy. You can see verse 17 and following about how the Chaldeans came, the Babylonians. Go back to our chapter. Go back to Jeremiah. Do you see in that passage, however, the statement about how they went after the abominations of the heathens? And how what it was the children of Israel. And the truth is, if you go back and you look, and I'm going to just touch on this a little bit later, so I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. But if you look at the history of the children of Israel, even when they came out of Egypt, as they went through the wilderness wanderings, they were following after false gods. They did so in the wilderness wanderings. They did so during the time of the judges. They did so during the time of the kings. And what you have to understand about the children of Israel, they had a history of going after those pagan gods and goddesses, of which God said, you should not do that. He was against it. And so we have that statement there in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 14 through verse 16, that they all were involved with those kind of things. And because of that, God carried them away into captivity. Judgment came upon them. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 2, I want to, again, we can't read all these verses. We don't have time for that. But we want to look at verse 11. And notice the description that is given here. Jeremiah 2:11, hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of the living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. They went away from God and they got them new gods. Little g, you know, I mean false gods and goddesses. And if you would take the time to look to read all of chapter 3 of the book of Jeremiah, of which our text is nestled, you will find that there is a plea to the children of Israel in regard to their backsliding. That word is not just found in our text. It's found earlier on in the chapter about their backsliding, how they need to come back, how they've gone away. Oh, you're backsliders. And he uses the northern kingdom, children of Israel of the north, who had already been carried away into captivity by the Assyrians, as an example to the children of Israel in the southern kingdom, and just says, you know, you should have learned from them, but they had not. And then we approach our passage, but then I'm going to skip past that just for a second and look into chapter 4, and you'll see that they were given a call to repent. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise your heart to the Lord, or rather circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. So go back now, and we're going to be looking at verse 22. But what do we find? We find that they have gone away from God. They backslidden. What was their backsliding consisting of? The reference in the text is the matter of their going away from God to serve other gods, and they've done it continually. Well, let's look at the context, and then we'll look at our verse itself. First of all, notice in verse 21, there's a departure. He says, a voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplication of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. They had gone away from the Lord. They were out among in the hills and the valleys, under every oak tree, as it were. They made places of worship all over the place. I mean, the landscape was dotted with false gods, false goddesses, of which they worshipped. And they had gone away from God. Their departure's in verse 21. Verse 22 is a declaration made unto them. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. You've gone away from me. You need to come back. That's what God is saying. God is declaring unto them. Notice the deception in verse 23. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. And what Jeremiah is declaring unto them is the fact that, you know what? You guys are going out and you're worshiping in all these false places, and they're false gods, false idols, and you have the wrong places, the altars are not correct. You just should not be out, and all those are vain. And yet that's what you're trying to do. What you need to do is to realize that the salvation is truly in God. And so he declares the deception of which they've been involved in. You know, we see a lot of that really in our generation, in our society, which has been true for every society. But you have the truth of the Word of God, and then you have so many just off shadings, don't you? So many false things out there that many people are following after, and they're seduced by those things, and they're following after false gods and false concepts and non-truths, but they think they're true. What a problem it is. The children of Israel were involved with that. They were deceived. And the word that comes to mind when I look at verse 24 and verse 25 is the word devour. Notice what it says, "For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers from our youth, even unto this day, and we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God." They're devoured. Why? Because they've gone away from God. God had always said, "You be obedient to me, you follow me, you keep me as the apple of your eye, and I will bless you. I will provide for you." But as they confess, and again, you look at the history, you know what? They went away from God on a regular basis. And God was bringing judgment. But you remember when we read where he kept sending prophets to them that they would not hear? They kept backsliding and they just would not listen. So now we have again, they're poised ready to be carried away by the Babylonian captivity. And again, it's as if God is saying, "This is your last chance. You need to return. You need to come back. Oh, backsliding children." And so he talks about how that they are devoured. And notice that after all this description about who they were and what they've done, he makes it very clear in the last part of verse 25 how that they realize that, you know what, we've sinned against the Lord our God. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. And that's absolutely true. Now, there are four things I want to mention unto you very quickly. One of them, as I've already alluded to before, is the history. They were persistent in their going away. You got to give them that. They just historically, they went away from God on a regular basis. And because of that, they're going to be devoured. Secondly, you know, it was very painful. They were in need of healing. Have you ever been sick and you need healing? Isn't it painful? We don't like pain. Well, this is a spiritual thing. They've gone away from God, and they consistently went away from God. Very painful it is. And it hurt the heart of God, as it were, and it certainly hurt the children of Israel. They needed healing. But you know what? The third thing I want to mention is they were powerless. Powerless. Do you know why? Because they kept looking to the wrong source. They kept looking to the god of this, like the god of Molech, or Chion, or the queen of heaven. You know, as a matter of fact, a little later on, after part of them are carried away into captivity, and some of them are left in Jerusalem, they go down into Egypt, and they decide that the reason that they're being punished is because they left off worship to the queen of heaven. When the truth was, God was carrying them away because they had worshipped the queen of heaven. But they were just so confused and so messed up. They knew things were wrong. They wanted to get things right, but they kept looking at the wrong places. Have you ever done that? You got to look to the Lord God. You have to look to the truth, and you have to know the Scriptures if you want to know the answers. You can't be looking in the wrong places. They looked in all the wrong places, and because of that, they were powerless. And then the fourth thing is, you know what? There were a penalty that came upon them. There were great losses that they sustained because of their sinfulness. The biggest thing is they were carried away into captivity. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was burned. I mean, it was just utterly destruction. Why? You remember what we already read. It's because they went away from God. They kept backsliding, and God would send prophets, and they would not listen. So our passage deals with backsliding. The word backsliding in our text in verse 22, where he says, "Return ye backsliding children," the word in the Hebrew means a turning away. It means rebellious. So you talk about children, these are children who've turned away. They're backsliding children. The main root of this word means to turn back. And the Hebrew dictionary speaks of it as and uses the word apostate. And so what we find here, the children of Israel gone away from God over and over and over, some to greater degree, some to lesser degree. So let's make a practical application of that as we look into the passage. You know what? The truth is, as Christians, we backslide. We backslide, don't we? Every sin we commit, we take a step away from God. We're backsliding, as it were. Different degrees, different durations. Sometimes you'll take a step away from God. You'll recognize it at that time. You'll repent. You'll confess it. You'll make it right with God. And, you know, the step you took back, you take back up to the front again. And everything is okay. Other times, you know, we might take two or three or four or five steps backwards. We don't realize it. Then we take another three or four steps backwards, and we don't realize it. And we just keep going back. And sometimes that can last for a period of time. And I kind of think of David when he had sinned in the matter of Bathsheba. You know, he hid that thing for a year. Don't you know he was backslidden in his heart? And he talks about that too, how he's so troubled in his soul and in his spirit, and how that affected him physically too. He was sick because he was backslidden from God and had not made things right with the Lord. And so we have to realize, as we think about this, we want to apply it today when a child backslides. My friend, if you name the name of Jesus Christ today, if you believe that you're a child of God, you must understand that you do backslide. You do go away from God, and to different degrees, I know. And we'd much rather go away one step than 100. But we have to admit, we go away. So when a child backslides is what we find in our text. Look at verse 22 very specifically. We'll just walk our way through this. He says, return. Return. I like that God desires their return. God wanted His people to come back to Him. Now, I want you to notice that that word return there, you can't understand that in English so much, but it's a command. He's not saying, well, if you think about it, you can come back. I really would like for you to return. This is a command of God. He speaks through Jeremiah and He says, return. No watching. God says, come back to me. My people, you've gone away. You've worshipped all these other gods and goddesses. Come back. Return. Return. It's a command. And when you think about it, you know, really it is in the best interest of the child, isn't it? When a command is made like that, come back. Come back. Not only is it in the best interest of the child, you know, it's proper to do that. Because for a child, for the children of Israel to return, it will be for the honor and glory of God. It'll be good for them. It'll be glorious to God if they would come back. Any of us who have children understand these things, don't we? Do children always make the right choices? Do they always do the right things? No, they do not. And sometimes, and it certainly is the job of the parent to say no, it's the job of the parent to give them direction. As a matter of fact, I'll throw this out as I chase this rabbit for just a second. I believe it's a parent's responsibility to protect the children. And there were many times, well, maybe not many, there were several times during my older son, especially as he's growing up, and still I'll do it for my younger son, that we just said, no, you can't do that, because we didn't think it was the right thing to do. Of course, from a peer pressure perspective, that puts him in a precarious spot because everybody else wants to do it and he's not going to be doing it, and it makes him look like the oddball out. And I don't know how many times I said to him, you tell him that Dad said you can't do it. Put the blame on me. Put the blame on Mom. Put it on us so that we can protect you, so you don't have to make a stand against them, say, I'm not allowed because my parents said no. That's protection for the children. But kids will go away, and parents will command the children to come back. Why? Because it's the best interest in them to do so, and it's the right thing to do. We have the nation of Israel going away from God, and God just simply commands them, return, return. And so today, if you are away from God, return. It's a command. Return. But also I want you to notice, so he says, return ye backsliding children. We know that these are people who have gone away. We know what the word backsliding is. We spent some time upon it. But do you realize here that the relationship will not change? Return ye backsliding children. I like that. To me, this expresses eternal security. I do believe that if a person is truly saved, he is always saved and will be completely saved all the way to the end. But not only will he be preserved, I also believe that he will persevere. In other words, perseverance is just as much a doctrine as preservation. And a Christian who says he's saved, you know what? They're going to act like it. They will live like it. They won't be perfect, but they're going to persevere as well as be preserved. But there are people in our society that believe that, well, if you do certain things, you lose your salvation. Well, you take the children of Israel here. They've gone away from God time and time and time again, worshiping false gods and false goddesses. And he said, what did he say? He said, return, you backsliding children. You're still my children. God's children, God's chosen nation is the nation of Israel. Whether you like that or not. You know what, as Americans, we say, well, that's kind of eclectic, and I don't think God has every right. And I'll tell you, God has a chosen nation of all the nations of the world, and that nation is the nation of Israel. And that might be offensive to some, but it's Bible. And he considered the nation of Israel as children. And they've gone away, and he says, you're backsliding children, but they're still children. And if my children should go away, if they should backslide from what they've been taught, if they get out in the world and they do things and turn their back on what they know to be true and what they've been taught, you know what? If they go away from all that, they'll still be my children. They will always be my children. Aren't you glad to know that if you're truly born again, I mean truly born again, you're a child of God, you're an heir of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and nothing can separate you from the love of God you have in Christ Jesus. Nothing. You say, well, if that's the case, I'll go out and live however I want. Oh, wait a minute. You better be thinking about this matter of perseverance then. If you really have that attitude, what makes you think you're really a child of God? See, you have to ask yourself some serious questions. But the truth is, a true child of God will always be a child of God and will be kept until the final day when we're made in the image of Jesus Christ. That relationship will never change no matter how much I backslide. But that doesn't give me the right to, oh, I'll just backslide all I wish. I hope you understand that. Now you look into the text and he says, return, you backsliding children. And notice he says, and I will heal your backsliding. Do you see that God does the healing? God is the only one that can heal the backsliding of the children of Israel. When I backslide, yeah, I can't fix it. But God can. When you backslide, you can't fix it. But God can. Now he commands them to return. He says, you return, I'll heal you. I'll fix it. But you can't fix it. I can't fix it. But we're commanded to return. Do you know what that means, dear believer? That when you recognize you've gone away from God, God speaks to your heart in a gentle way, taps on your shoulder, gets your attention, and you know you've strayed. You know what that means? That means that all you need to do is just go back to Him. Just return. I mean, it's going to be a heart of humility. It's going to be with an attitude of repentance. But you'll go back to the Heavenly Father and you'll just say, God, I've strayed and I know I can't fix it, but you can. I can't heal it, but you can. And you said for me to return, I'm returning. What does James say? Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Christian, don't be in despair. Don't be despondent. Don't say, well, I just backslide all the time. We sin every day. You say, well, I've gone too far and done too much. God would not receive me. Remember, my friend, you're still His child. If you truly are a child, you're still His child. He'll receive you anytime with open arms. He'll welcome you back. And He'll do everything that needs to be done to heal you. But you must respond. You must return. He alone does the healing. Isn't that what He tells the children of Israel? He says, you backsliding children, you return. And He says, and I will heal your backslidings. And that's good news, isn't it? They can be healed. You know, I believe with all my heart that if the children of Israel would have returned, would have repented, that God would have healed them. And things would have been different. I mean, I look at that from a human view. I know that. But I'm not going to sit on eternity and try to divine the things of God. But if He tells them to return, and if they would return, He would heal their backslidings. Do you think that's true? I do. Problem is, they didn't. But the good news is, they can be. And so, dear child of God, today, I want you to know you can be healed. You say, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know how I think. You don't know what I do. I don't need to know. All I know is that God said, you return to Him, He'll heal you. Christian, you don't have to live in a backslidden condition. You know, this speaks of forgiveness to me. I will heal your backsliding. You can be forgiven. I believe that God is able enough to work in and through any kind of sin which we've ever committed to our own good. In other words, if we really foul it up, He can still make it out to turn out right as He desires to do so. Isn't Romans 8:28 still true? And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and them who are called according to His purpose. Do you believe that? You ever make bad choices? Sure. Ever sin? Yes, you do. Is God able to turn that lemon into lemonade? Yes, He can. Doesn't mean that He will all the time. I'm not saying for you to be presumptuous and say, well, I'll just do all this and then God will fix it. That's kind of ignorant, isn't it? I'm not advocating that. But I'll tell you, my friend, you sit there today and you know that you've gone away from God. God can heal you and He can fix it. Not just heal the backsliding, but He can turn all that sour stuff that you created. He can make it right. But you know, the truth is, a lot of times He will just allow us to suffer what we put in. You know what? If you're going to dig around in the trash can, you're going to smell like garbage. That's all there is to it. And if you sow to the wind, you're going to weep the whirlwind. That's what the Bible says. You make some bad choices. You know what? You go out and get drunk, run over somebody, and kill them in a car. God can heal you. God can take care of you. But chances are, you're probably going to be in prison for manslaughter. Do you deserve that? Absolutely. But aren't you glad to know that God can forgive? God will always forgive us. You know, He can mend our wounds. He can restore the power. You ever as a Christian, kind of lose the power? And I'm not talking about some Pentecostal thing. But we know what it is to, you know what, have the power of God rest upon us. We go away from God, that power is gone. Kind of like Samson, you know, after he'd had his hair cut. It's gone. Aren't you glad when the power comes back? God can restore that power. You know, He can bless. He can increase productivity. I mean, He can do all sorts of things. God can fix it. We can be healed. Now, what is it they were supposed to do? They were to recognize their condition. Hey, we've gone away from God. They need to re-recognize who God is, that He is the only true God, He is the only one, and we must deal with Him. And then they need to return to Him. Isn't that what we're asking you today to do today? And just simply recognize your condition. And then recognize who God really is. And if you're separated, remember Isaiah 59 says that sin separates us from God. If you're separated, you need to return. God hasn't moved. You have. They can be healed. He says, return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Now notice, the next part of that verse, it appears that there's a positive attitude, a positive feedback. Behold, we come unto thee. Boy, that's a good thing, isn't it? They appear to have a desire to return. Now, it wasn't certainly across the nation. There might have been the effort of some because, I mean, I don't believe Jeremiah went away from God, and there were always a remnant. The nation of a whole did not return because they were carried away into Babylonian captivity. Not just once, but a total of three times. But the attitude here is, you know, the plea, you return, that's a command, you come back, I'll heal you. And the statement is, behold, we come unto thee. That's a good thing, isn't it? And then notice what it says in the last part of that verse. He says, for thou art the Lord our God. Behold, we come to you because you alone are the true God. Not the Queen of Heaven, not Molech, not Baal, not Ashtoreth, not Chion. And so I find in this latter part, behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. I find that with the command permitting their response, it shows us God's compassion. God said, return. They said, we want to return. Then that shows God's compassion in that God was concerned for them. And I want you to know, child of God, God is concerned for you. He's never taken His eyes off of you. Didn't He say He'd never leave you nor forsake you? And I know perhaps that troubles you when you think about where you've been and what you've done and all the things. You've taken Jesus with you. I know that might trouble your heart, but you know what? God is a compassionate God. And aren't you glad that He, to His children, says, return, commands to return. And He says, I'll do it. And He just says, I have compassion on you. When I look at this command and they responded to that, it shows not only God's compassion, I believe it shows God's patience. And that is that God didn't destroy them in an instant. Aren't you glad that God doesn't flash like a fire in a pan? Aren't you glad? You know, some of those magicians, they have that smoke or, you know, that stuff or whatever, and they whoof, and then it just flash and it's gone. That flash powder. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that? Aren't you glad the scriptures speak of how that God is a long-suffering God, a patient God, long of endurance? I tell you, as children, aren't we glad our parents weren't like that most of the times? Sometimes a parent can get right on the edge, though, be on a bad day, and maybe not enough sleep, doesn't feel well and all that, just one thing, and all of a sudden they're over the edge. That can happen. But aren't you glad that never happens with God? Aren't you glad that God just doesn't respond like we do sometimes? But God is very patient. We had read that the children of Israel had gone away from God and gone away from God and gone away from God. I mean, it's continual. And God said, I sent you messengers. I sent you prophets. I sent you the message. You would not hear. But boy, I kept sending them. And here he is again, prior to the Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah standing up saying, return! Return! I'm glad for God's patience. Because if he wanted, he could snap us all out in an instant as soon as we sin against him and say, I've had enough of it. You're gone. You're coming to be with me. He could, but he doesn't. God is a compassionate God. God is a patient God. But I also learned from this experience that we find in the passage that the command permitting their response, they've been commanded to return. They said, yes, we will return unto you. It shows God's mercy. That is, God will receive them back. I understand in the human frame, sometimes we cut it off and that's it. We burn the bridge, it's over. Sometimes we will not receive it back. You say, well, that's your child, that's your brother, that's your spouse. Yeah, that may be, but sometimes we'll cut it off and say, we'll never return. We'll never let them come back. You know, God doesn't do that. God's always merciful. And he'll receive the children of Israel back. And I want you to know today, dear Christian friend, that no matter what you've done, no matter how far you've gone as a child of God, God commands you to return. And he just says, come back, come back. You know you can. Isn't that good news? I mean, really, that's good news. Turn, if you will, to 1 John chapter 1. In closing, I would like to give you a few considerations. I trust that the explanation of the text has been helpful, and I tried to make some points that were applicable down through there that would get your attention, would help you. But I just wanted you to consider a few things as we finish today. I have six things I'm going to mention to you, and then I have a challenge that I want to offer to two groups. The first thing is this in considerations. We all turn away, and when we do, God is not pleased. We need to recognize that. I mean, young person, I want you to know when you disobey your mom and dad, they're not happy. And when we disobey our Heavenly Father, He is not happy. Number two, we need to return. Even as is exhorted in this text, return, return. Number three, the good news is we can return. I've asked you to turn to 1 John. Did you look at verse 9? It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that good? I know that as a child of God, if I go away from God, if I step away, if I depart, if I backslide, that if I turn back to Him and confess my sin, He will forgive me. He will cleanse me. There is forgiveness. We can return. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, and we do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Aren't you glad that Christ stands as our advocate? He's our lawyer, our go-between. And if any man sin, you know what? The relationship is still intact. We might not be in very good fellowship, but the relationship is still intact, and things can be made right with God. We can return. Number four, I want to remind you, you must forgive yourself too. You know, God will forgive us, but we have a tendency not to forgive ourselves. Unforgiveness toward others is very damaging to you, but if you fail to forgive yourself, that's also very damaging. God can love you and God can forgive you. You need to forgive yourself. You know, there are some people who've done certain things and things have happened, and they'll say, you know what, as long as I live, I'll never forgive myself for that. You can't have that attitude. You can't. It will ruin you. You have to forgive yourself. God's forgiven you. Forgive yourself. Number five, I believe we must be humble and submissive to God. That's the key, isn't it? Return. Return. We must be humble. We must be submissive. And then number six, by God's grace, may we not depart from the beginning. I mean, hopefully we won't go away, but the good news is if we do, or when we do, we have a God who loves us, who wants us to come back, longs for us to return. And I'll tell you, dear Christian, today, that's what you need to do. I'd like to make a challenge. If you're here and you're a Christian, you know that you're saved. Perhaps through the course of this message, God has gotten your attention about something. I don't know what. I don't claim to be a prophet or a son of the prophet. But I'll tell you what, I know God can work in the hearts of His people. And if God got a hold of you today about something to wherein you stepped off, you've departed, you've backslid, are you able to acknowledge that? To admit it before God? Are you able to repent from it and return? He said, if you return, I'll heal you. I can't offer you any better answer than that. Because that's the best, isn't it? In humbleness of heart, go to God. And confess it, He'll hear. And then I challenge you that are here that are lost. Now, I know this has been a message directed toward those of us who are saved as children who might backslide. But as a lost person, you've never been in the fold. You've never been a child of God. And you know what the truth is? You're under the bondage of the devil. You're under condemnation. You're under judgment. You have the wrath of God looming over you. And if you think there ought to be a concern for a Christian to keep things right with God because God is a fearful God and all-consuming fire, I'll tell you, as a lost person, you'd better take heed. Because without Jesus Christ, you're an enemy of God. You fight against Him, though you may not think so. And your need is to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon God, recognizing Him as the true God of heaven and earth. Understand that Christ died on the cross for sinners, was buried, and risen again the third day. And you know what? He gives eternal life to all who believe. Would you return, Christian? Would you, as a lost person, turn to God today? Would you be saved? I encourage you to do that. So I challenge both saved and non-saved today. I'd like for us to stand and sing, and let us reflect upon these things that we've discussed today about when a child backslides, and may you be encouraged to return to God. Let's stand, let's sing. I appreciate your kind attention, and I pray that God has spoken to your heart today, and God is moving in your soul. Father, thank you for the day. Bless your word as only you can. I ask that you would speak to the heart of every Christian today. God, show us wherein we fall short. Show us those places wherein we've departed, where we backslide, and cause us to return. And God, give us the grace that we need to do so. And we know you'll heal us. Thank you for that. And we pray for the lost that they might be saved. Only you can save a person from their sin. And we ask you to do it today. May each one that is lost today know their situation and condition. And may you bring them to repentance and faith. May they call upon you. May you save them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?